If you will take out your scripture sheet in chapters 14 through 16 of John, there are several paragraphs which say essentially the same thing about the sending of the Holy Spirit by the Father and the Son. And I have selected those for you, and so that you can see this is a consistent theme and promise of Jesus. At the end of this sermon, we're going to sing a song called Spirit Song. There's a little prayer written there. May the Holy Spirit fill you, empower you, and set you on fire with divine love. You can pray that prayer for yourself, or during the invitation, you can come forward and we'll lay hands on you, on your shoulder, and simply pray this prayer. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. All these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is already judged. But when the counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. And you are also witnesses, because you've been with me from the beginning. I've said all this to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering sacrifice to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been stopped in your tracks? There you are, cruising through life on autopilot, when all of a sudden you are riveted. Something unexpected crosses your path. Insight floods in. This is wrong. I must do something. This is amazing. I must pay attention. This is bewildering. I must think about this. Or this is beautiful. I must remember this moment. Or this is holy ground. I must stop and pray. All the powers of your attention come together in a focused beam of awareness. You have stumbled across something. You have been stopped in your tracks. And the question is God interrupting my life? Is light shining on my path? This common phenomena of being arrested is to me one of the experiential verifications of the mysterious and comprehensive work of God's Holy Spirit, who in John's Gospel is regularly and rightly called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity, equal in deity with the Father and the Son, is God indwelling a disciple of Jesus and giving them what's needed when it's needed. And remember, there is no such thing as a believer in Jesus who does not have the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a child, I thought the Holy Spirit had been split up among the churches. That Methodists who love to sing, "This is my Father's world," focus on God the Father and creation. The Baptists who sang all these songs about the blood of Jesus kind of had the second person of the Trinity. And then the Pentecostals out on the outside of the town that like to sing loud and shake tambourines, they had the Holy Ghost. So I thought that we talked a lot more about the Father than about the Son and the Spirit, and the Baptists talked more about Jesus than about the Father and the Spirit, and the Pentecostals talked about the Spirit and gave short shrift to the Father and the Son. And I thought that was okay, but God is not divided. When you deal with God, you get the whole package. When you come to Christ, you get Him as Savior, and God is your Father, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Now, you may not understand that. You may think that only energetic Christians have the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling in the deepest part of their humanity. Light and life are now within. Now, the Holy Spirit can be ignored. He can be grieved. You can be frightened of Him. You may not know your great friend. He may operate silently in your life, but the Holy Spirit is in some neglected corner of your soul, waiting to shine light in a dark space and life in a dead space. And the Holy Spirit always perseveres, looking for openings in your life and conscience through which to flood His life. The Holy Spirit invites. The Holy Spirit offers. The Holy Spirit teases our awareness and stirs curiosity toward Jesus Christ. Now, I remember one time going to a play, and the room was absolutely dark. And you couldn't even see the single man that stood on the stage for a one-man performance. So somebody clicked the spotlight, and he was surrounded in a circle of light. And as he moved, the spotlight followed him. And that is what the Holy Spirit does for Jesus. The Holy Spirit rarely points to Himself. He deflects attention and light. And the goal of the Holy Spirit is to rivet our attention on Jesus as the revelation of God in history, so that we love Him and we seek Him and we are drawn to Him and we are curious about Him. The passion of the Holy Spirit is to lead us into deep experiential knowledge and cooperation with the risen Jesus, and to believe that His teaching is fit for every occasion. The Holy Spirit within the believer is the divine link so that we can perceive the actions of God and be addressed personally through Holy Scripture. Now, I have been an adult convert since July of 1972, which is almost 43 years ago. And I've compiled a list of some of the regular phrases the Holy Spirit uses to get my attention. I do not believe that every thought that comes to me is from God, but with this list, I'm pretty sure. And you check it against the way the Holy Spirit alerts you. And the first one is, Phil, do you remember what Jesus said about this? And sometimes I'll chuckle and say, apparently not, and thanks for the reminder. Sometimes I'll hear, Phil, why don't you speak up now? Do not be afraid. The time is right. This is a moment of witness. Open your mouth. Or how about, let me show you something you haven't seen before. Or let's open the book together. Let me speak to you. Or, Phil, I wouldn't do that if I was you. It doesn't lead where you think it does. Or how about, let me feel your dry soul and let's worship. Or how about, listen to this person, Phil. I have something to say to you through them. I was praying with a group of pastors one morning, and one of the pastor's wives there looked at me and said, Phil, pressure is everywhere, but fear is optional. And it went into me like an arrow. It was a prophetic word that I needed. And if I hadn't been listening, I would have missed it. Or how about this one? Phil, here's a spiritual gift for someone else. It's from me. It's through you. Deliver it and watch what happens. And here's my last one. Don't spend that on yourself, Phil. Let me show you where to make an investment in someone who needs to know that I've heard their prayer. And after 42 years, I get it wrong, but I've learned to distinguish between my own thoughts, which are really that pure and really that full of love, and the voice and nudges of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And the Holy Spirit is the echo of the voice of Jesus. I do not know how to understand the dynamic of the Scriptures or my own life apart from the communications of the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher and protector and defender and reminder and living link with the kingdom of God. It is good for the lights to be on in your soul. It is good to be startled out of spiritual amnesia into spiritual awareness. We were made to hear God's voice. And if the nudges you get and the thoughts that come to you and even some of your impulses match up with the portrait of Jesus found in the gospel, then you ought to take the risk. Even if you look stupid. So if it pushes you to love, and if it pushes you to mercy, and if it pushes you to truth-telling, if it pushes you down the social ladder, and it's not a contradiction of the portrait of Jesus in the Gospels, then you ought to see what happens when you begin to obey God. And even if you get it wrong or it's awkward, it will please God that you tried to hear Him. Now, why isn't it enough that Jesus died and rose for you? Because there's some things He wants to do for us. There are also some things He wants to do in us. And while the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years, He was full of the Spirit. The light and love of God shone out of Him. But He was a separate person from them. They followed Him. They mimicked Him. But what they needed was for the one who was in Him to come dwell in them. To have a living link of God within the human heart. The Spirit of God in the soul and heart of men and women as a living link with God. Not something they're copying on the outside, but something they're listening to on the inside. And so Jesus said, "I'm going away to the Father in death and resurrection and ascension, and though you can't believe it, it's going to be better for us all. Because I'm going to pour my Spirit into all of you. I can only be at one place at one time, but you can be scattered around the globe, each of you an outlet, an agent for God." Now, this is a crude analogy, and don't press me on it, but you can have a little transistor radio on your table, and you can listen to the music, and the receiver is outside of you. But what if you could swallow the radio? What if the receiver was not outside you, but inside you? And when you open your mouth, the songs came out. You see, God is interested in creating a transformed people who love God and who love others because they follow Jesus. And the one who was in Jesus that empowered Him is to indwell them. See, the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. They're in cahoots with one another. And it is the Spirit's delight to take the life of Jesus and His stories and to keep bringing them to you, which is why they need to be on the hard disk. So the Holy Spirit has something to pull. So that when you're in temptation or confusion, He can bring to you a saying of Jesus or a story that can illumine you and enliven you. This Christian faith is not just following abstract principles. It is a living, relational reality in which I, as a broken, frail, sinful human being, live within the embrace of the divine Trinity. Jesus said He's going to send us another counselor like Himself who's not only going to be with us, who's going to be in us and go bring all things to remembrance and bear witness and guide us into the truth. The Holy Spirit is not an independent source of divine revelation. The Spirit works with the Son and the Father and upholds Scripture. So somebody comes to me and says, "Pastor, I'm full of the Spirit and I'm married, but I just met my soulmate at work. The Spirit told me that she's the one from me. And this person is making a claim to divine revelation. And I tell them, no, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that spoke to you. That was the unholy spirit through your lust and through your lack of character to remain in a faithful relationship with your wife. So the test of whether something is from the Holy Spirit is, does it match the character of Jesus Christ? Is it in harmony with the whole of Scriptures? And does it uphold the church's faith? You see, the Father is near but transcendent, and the Son is beside us, and the Holy Spirit is within us. We are a Trinitarian people, and each Christian is meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you have to copy somebody else's style. You can be an introvert and be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with outward exuberant expressions, but that's not the test. Are you a follower of Christ? Do you love Him? Do you want more of Him? Is it your heart's desire to be an agent of God's love in this world? Does God sometimes startle you and rivet you and catch your attention and take your breath away with some unexplained beauty or some oppression on which you must take a stand? Do you ever feel the wind blowing in your soul? Do you ever weep over the beauty of Jesus and the brokenness of our world? Do you have a creative outlet in music or poetry or painting to express the creativity of the Holy Spirit? James Emery White is a Presbyterian pastor in Charlotte. I love this story. He tells while teaching seminary students. When teaching seminary students, I bring in 2 glasses of water and 2 plastic packs of Alka-Seltzer. I drop a packet with the wrapper on into the first glass and an unsealed packet into the second glass, and I watch it fizz. I then say, both of these glasses have Alka-Seltzer, just as all Christians have the Holy Spirit within. But notice how you can have the Spirit and not His filling. Our goal, he concludes, is to live in such a way as to unwrap the packaging around the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within. Is there any fizz in your soul? Is there any outbreak of divine life? Is there any deep desire for God? When you read the Scripture, does God speak? Are there ever dreams or revelations? Do you witness? Do you hunger for God's Word? Are there times of fasting and prayer? Is there any passion for justice? Is there anything that breaks your heart? It is the legacy of all Christians, but particularly of Wesleyan Christians, to be a people who love the Scriptures and follow the Lord, and who are full, full, full of the fizz of the Holy Spirit, of joy and love that abound. Now, folks, I don't know what God will do, and I don't give altar calls to count heads. There is a prayer here, and you can pray it for yourself if you're more reticent. May the Holy Spirit fill you, empower you, and set you on fire with divine love. But the Spirit is often stirred up within us when someone else touches us and prays. And if you're hungry for a fresh experience of Christ, I can't give it to you. I need it myself. But I can pray, and you can open your heart. And we'll see what God will do. I'm asked the Kit will come up and stand on this side, and I'll stand on this side, and you can pray in your pew, or you can come forward and we'll pray with you for just 10 seconds and you can go back to your seats. Our hymn is number 347, Spirit Song.